If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
This evening, our seminar topic is how to access awareness and knowing. So let's start with an integration and take a deep breath and be present here and now. Feel that energy of your breath as it courses down through your hands, your feet, your arms. Feel the energy in your face. Try to sense the vitality that exists within you as energy. Experience yourself as something quite apart from the narrow confines of your physical body. Take another deep breath. And shoot your awareness up through the top of your head and position yourself about a foot above your skull. Get a sense of yourself quite beyond your brain, quite beyond your thinking. Experience yourself as awareness itself that is pervading the entire cosmos. Doesn't that feel wonderful? The greatest bliss is to awaken to yourself as pure awareness, birthless, deathless, beyond time and space, beyond dimensional placement, beyond all things, you reside has that one divine presence that is all-pervasive, all-knowing, all-aware. Take another deep breath and flood your entire being with that awareness. Clench your fists to integrate all your levels and release. Open your eyes and be totally present, just here and just now. So, your inner knowing is covered only by your outer knowledge. Let's make a very clear understanding here that your knowing exists quite apart from your outer knowledge. So let me ask you, are you living your life generally from the level of thinking or awareness? And do you know the difference? How do you respond, for example, if someone asks you a really deep, profound spiritual question about the issues of life, birth and death and the meaning of things, that sort of question. Do you immediately start to respond from something you've been taught by another or something that you've experienced in the past? Where do you go to access your answer? Or do you start to quote from some ancient scripture or some book of wisdom? Or something you learned in some seminar? Or do you reference your information to he said, she said, they said. Where do you go to access your information? Or do you offer your usual by rote opinion, or simply confess that you're clueless? How do you respond to a question that has never been taught in any of the classrooms that you've ever sat in? Has anyone ever modeled or taught you how to be aware? You see, our Western modernized world and its educational systems have taught us that only certain authorities have the, quote, correct answers. So we're not taught really to think. We're taught to memorize the thought conclusions of others and then to repeat them by rote like parrots. And yet the very word education comes from a root word that means to draw forth from within one's inner knowing. Yet very rarely is this approach ever taught or utilized in the westernized, let's say, educational system. But a skilled teacher, that is, if they have the time, I might add, will often respond to a question with another question to encourage the development of independent thinking and also the contribution of individual insight. So the best teachers, both East and West, will teach you how to think correctly. They will teach you how to organize your thoughts and to focus and concentrate the mind, to bring everything to a fine-honed point, which is what concentration means. It means to bring everything to a centered focus. And then you're taught how to penetrate the great cloud of knowing that hovers just beyond your thinking. Now, here are some familiar patterns that tend to block awareness. I think the main one is the belief that we have to have the right answer, that somehow we're going to be looked down upon or judged or viewed as ignorant or uneducated if we don't come up with the right answer. And yet all that's doing is triggering an even deeper fear of not measuring up, of somehow being inferior and so forth. And all of that stuff simply comes from being out of touch with yourself as awareness. You as awareness are never insecure. However, the ego is always insecure. And rightly so, because your awareness will completely cause it to dissolve into the nothingness from which it's emerged. So awareness and knowing are attributes of your true divine nature. You already come embodied as awareness, as knowing, and simply temporarily misidentifying yourself with this enchilada that you're wearing around to call your personality and your body and your name and your form in this lifetime. But within you, as a natural part of you, is that ancient one, is that spirit of the living God that is pure holiness, wholeness, and awareness itself. And the only thing really that you need to do to get in touch with that part of yourself is to start exercising your awareness and your knowing. And here's how. Start with putting aside whatever you've been taught and start asking yourself, what is my knowing about this? You know, when you're having a question about something or someone asks you a question, you might start by asking them, what is your knowing about this? But apply that to yourself as well. What is my knowing about this? What does my innermost being sense deeply as the truth here? You know, Our entire nature is hardwired for truth and for being aware of the true nature of people and things. Our awareness is always aware of that which is. And the old practice of, I think you might be familiar with these old practices, where you will lay a question upon your heart, or you'll sleep on it and see how you feel about it in the morning. Or some people take it to God in prayer, or seek the will of God. And all of these are attempts simply to get in touch with the very heart of a matter and with your own sense of knowing. So, here are a few awareness exercises that you can practice if you'd like. The next time you're people watching, or sitting on a park bench, or in a restaurant, or window shopping in a mall, or even sitting and watching TV, be aware of what you're doing in your mind. Just observe it. Can you simply watch what's going on, the people, the situations, the program, in just an open and neutral state? Can you overhear snippets of conversation without having to interpret or think about anything? You know, I think it's very, very wise to utilize every single moment in our life to practice inner stillness and awareness. You know, we can be in a 24/7 spiritual practice when we do that. So let me ask you, can you simply walk through your environment with acceptance and appreciation? Wow, can you imagine how our world would transform if we just did that and nothing else? Just acceptance of that which is, and appreciation that behind everything, regardless of how it looks, is one heart, one mind, one love, one intelligence, one divine spirit, one creator, one God that has pretended for a time to become the many. So, is it possible to live and let live and allow each soul to do what they need to do? Can we just let people be? Can you exercise wisdom in speaking only when you have something to contribute to the well-being of all? That's a big one, isn't it? Can you train yourself to refrain from having to have an opinion about everything? Sometimes we think we're duty-bound to put our 2 cents worth, and seldom is it worth 2 cents. So these are ways that we waste awareness, we waste energy, we waste the opportunity we have to know, be, and manifest our highest levels of spiritual awareness. Here's another one. Can you go an entire day without saying anything negative about anyone or anything? Can you go a whole day without gossiping or complaining or fault-finding or tale-bearing or slandering or getting involved in another's business? Can you? Well, then you're way on the road. You know, you're really a good traveler on the way to accessing greater awareness and knowing. You see, it's all of these little unconscious habits that we develop that rob us of experiencing a truly joyous moment. And not to mention our innate awareness and knowing. Think about it. When you're simply exercising your divine awareness, you're in such a state of inner stillness and peace. You're just presence. And you're in the heart of God and in the heart of all that is when you're in that state. Take another deep breath and experience yourself as the energy around your body. You can see your body in your mind's eye, but just imagine that you're a greater self, let's say a great golden radiant one, a great being that fills the cosmos with the immensity of awareness and love and bliss and creative expansion. That is far more true and truly representative of who you are than the body that's sitting and listening to me right now. You know, Jesus was modeling knowing and attempting to draw forth the innate knowing of his disciples. When he asked them, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And immediately the disciples started thinking, remembering and quoting what they'd heard others saying about Jesus. They didn't go to the knowing at all. And they said, you know, all sorts of things, that he was Elijah returned and so forth. And Jesus waited patiently until they'd finished. And then he turned to Peter and asked him very directly, "And who do you say I am?" And Peter spoke directly from his awareness and knowing as he replied, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus affirmed by replying, "Flesh did not reveal that to you, but the Spirit of the living God." So the very source of our awareness and knowing is the Spirit of the living God, the truth within us. The Spirit of truth within us. And it's that part of us that's ever connected and whole and holy. And that's our true natural state. And when all the conditioned indoctrination, all of the thinking and doubting and grasping for truth and trying to understand, when all of that ceases, what remains is pure awareness. And truth simply stands revealed. So you don't get awareness. You don't get knowing. You simply remove the clutter of your indoctrination, and there it is. I've noticed that when a person is not in contact with their spiritual nature, they will tend to believe that they are not aware and not a knower. And they'll tend to place themselves in a position of lack and limitation. And they either give up for this lifetime, or they become intellectual rapists. Yes, their greed to know and to become and to be actually causes them to ravage information. The very greed to possess knowledge and understanding, to have and to acquire it at any cost, is itself the very affirmation that they truly see themselves as lacking awareness, as being unable to access direct knowing. I think that's why channeling and astrology and divination is condemned in the Judeo-Christian scriptures. Because with the coming of Jesus, we were taught to go directly to the Father, directly to the Holy Spirit within us, and not to go outsourcing, not to look to mediums or familiar spirits or divination and psychic tools or trying to get secondhand information. because that is the ego's ploy to keep you from spoiling its game. The ego wants to run the show, but the ego is simply a false thought form of lack and limitation that you've bought into. It's not who you are. It's a mistaken point of identification in limitation and separation from all good or all God. So, that imperative to know that you see sometimes makes people very anal retentive, very unloving, very fanatical. You see it in every world faith, this fanaticism. This is the way, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And people will absolutely walk in your face in some ashrams to get to the guru. Or they'll fight you for that pew seat if you, God forbid, sit in the seat that they've occupied for 40 years and they still don't know how to access their awareness or listen to the spirit of the living God. I mean, Jesus said we could hear his voice, that we can hear his voice. So, that voice, he removed his physical body so we wouldn't keep following that around, and he put that voice within us as our conscience, as that inner teacher, that inner master that we are to go to for our knowing, for our truth validation. And that always speaks a new thing. It's always a revelation. It's always something greater than what was said in the past. And though we acknowledge and we respect the written traditions, because it said that all sacred scripture is spirit-breathed, which means inspired by the one divine spirit. Nevertheless, when we start worshiping a book or an organization or a particular technique or a particular guru, and we tack our whole salvation onto that outer whatever, we're practicing idolatry. Because we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And God has new things to reveal to us, things that are stunning and magnificent, that will so far transcend anything we could imagine. So we have to be willing to sacrifice what we think we know, what we think we understand, how we think it all works, and be, as Jesus said, like an innocent child that indeed inherits the kingdom of heaven. So the very complexity of our intellectual approaches is what's blocking awareness and knowing. And then you have to wonder whatever happened to the innocent child who indeed inherits the kingdom of heaven. Well, the innocent child is still present, but now is covered up with human efforts and human conditioning. So, here is how to cultivate awareness and to access your knowing. Are you ready? Take another deep breath. And follow your breath down throughout your body. And be aware that you're the energy of the breath. You're the energy within and beyond your body. So here is how you cultivate awareness and access your knowing. Stop trying. Stop trying. Be still and be present. Again, how you cultivate awareness and access your knowing. You stop trying and you be still and be present. So be 100% present wherever you are right now. Being spaced out is not awareness. Being numbed out, drugged, in a trance, whatever, is not awareness. So be present where you are until you outgrow it. And when you have outgrown it, you will have found you've expanded beyond it. But stop trying. If you are present 100% with the level of awareness, with a level of light, with a measure of faith, with what you're able to sense of the presence of God, in whom you live and move and have your being. If you're present with that as you go about your day, that is the most powerful practicing of awareness you could ever engage in. And everything else will come along. Everything else will tag along if you just practice that alone. So be committed to your next breath and committed to where you are and what you have your hand to do, and do it for God with all your heart, and just stay present and observe. That's it. That's all you do. As you stay present, there's no trying. There's no attempt to figure out what to say or what to do. Jesus said not to be concerned about what we would eat or what we would wear or what we would say or what we would do. That God knows what we have need of in this material world, and that the Spirit of Truth itself would arise within us and say just the right thing at the right time. Do you ever notice how sometimes you'll prepare a speech or rehearse something you're going to say to somebody, and then you get in that situation and something entirely different comes out of your mouth? That happens to me all the time in these shows. All the time. Because when we're in that flow of awareness and that knowing, it's not of our doing, it's of our allowing. That's how you step aside and allow God to use you. Because everything that's going to get on this planet has to come through us. God does everything through human hands and feet, living and earth bodies. That's how the kingdom of heaven and everything else gets down here, is through us. So God may be the electricity, but we are the light bulbs. And so you could look at your body as like a lampshade. But you are actually the light, because you and God are one and the same in essence. And God is light, in which there is no shadow and no darkness whatsoever. And that's who you are. Where is the darkness? Where is the shadow? It cannot be there if you're in pure divine awareness. That is the very truth itself, which is the light, which is the way, which is the Christ, which is the Anointed One, which is the messianic action flowing through the body of Christ. So just stay present and observe. That's it. That's all you have to do. No thinking about anything at all. Just be present and stay aware. And let your awareness be present. No critiquing, no interpreting, no judging, no opinions, no attitude, no attachment to outcome. Just quietly be present. Now, you are in that most powerful state possible for a divine outcome to manifest. Your presence as quiet awareness allows perfection to be present in that situation. Isn't that awesome? So that is the innocence, let's say. That state is the innocence that manifests the kingdom of heaven right now, right here, and right now. So awareness is so simple, so natural. This staying present, this observing without attachment, without thinking about anything. That is the practice of awareness. And in that state of pure awareness, knowing simply is. You know, when you're not trying to grasp and rape reality by pursuing it and forcing your mind into it, knowing simply arises. It's that desperation, that grasp, that greed, that intellectual greed that blocks the knowing. So kick back, be cool, be aware, be still, and be aware that the knowing, manifests when it's necessary. In other words, some people try to know things that the time for the knowing hasn't arrived yet. You'll notice that the Holy Spirit is always now. Spirit is always now, 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 now. Present revelation, present revelation, present revelation. Doesn't lay out a big psychic, what would you call it, blueprint of what's going to happen on such and such a date, such and such a place, such and such a way. No, that's the human thinking there. That's the channeled entities. That's not the Spirit of the living God. A Spirit of the living God always has that element of surprise. It's almost characteristic that the divine Spirit loves to play in consciousness states, delights in revelation of newness. Behold, I make all things new. Yeah. So you can't manipulate it, you can't set it up, you can't orchestrate it, you can't theorize it, you can't complicate it or mess it up in any way at all. You can mess with the psychic field, sure, you can do that. People do it all the time. It's called confusion. So whenever you're confused, it's because you're looking to the psychic fields, at the biophysical energies of the human mind and emotions and etheric body and psychic prognostications and so forth, tarot cards, whatever. It's because you're looking to that instead of directly in the inner awareness of the direct knowing that arises from purity and holiness. So the competitive spirit has no place in the spiritual life. This is not a horse race. This is not an athletic competition. This is being the lover of God and the cherisher of humanity. It's being the loving caretaker of all. It's having a servant's heart, a heart of contribution, a heart of giving, self-bestowal. It's sweet, it's innocent, it's gentle, it's patient, it's kind. And in that state of pure awareness, knowing is present. So that stillness of thinking without wanting a particular thing to happen, without demanding anything be different or change or happen according to your preference. That's what allows the miracles to happen. Those little serendipitous surprises that arise within you that even increase your bliss. So knowing is hidden by your wanting and your desire to know. Whenever you desire or want something, it arises from the belief that you lack whatever it is you want or desire. And behind every material desire is the desire for one thing, to know, to love, and to experience God. Yes, we fill ourselves with stuff, but all we really want is to be filled with the awareness and the bliss of our divine nature. So it is only your belief and your thoughts of lack that keep you in ego hell or the realm of thinking, instead of the heaven of knowing. You as a human personality are not the one who is aware. You are not the one who is the knower. The human conscious self is the thinker, the decider, not the knower. The human consciousness is the conditioned human facade. It's your learned behavior. It's not your divine nature. So you develop the ability to discern between your conditioned learned behavior and thinking and the pure awareness and knowing of your transpersonal self. Get it? Transpersonal. You outgrow your self-focus, your self-preoccupation, your litany of lack and grievance. You grow beyond that into that self which is supremely whole and full and complete and blissful and peaceful. And your answers, the ones you really want, simply appear as instant knowing when you let go of all of your intellectual greed and grasping. There are some of you out there that are asking in your mind, well, what about if I go to a class and I have to study something and write a paper on it? Beloved, that does not block or interfere with your awareness. What? One iota. When you're in class, be in class 100%. Be the best student you could possibly be. Bring forward every single bit of knowledge and understanding that you've gleaned from your teacher, from your seminar, your class, whatever, your course of study. Do it for God. Then what happens is the Spirit of the living God functions through another aspect of your mind, which is the divine intellect, which is above the human intellect. There's a higher level of mind, too, that is very closely in constant communication with your soul, with your knower, with your spirit. And that higher intellect is also a manifestation of the mind of God in you, functioning as creative intelligence. So God is also the intelligence. It's also the aptitude and the ability that are divinely quickened in you by the power of that Holy Spirit. So whatever you do, whether you're an auto mechanic or a cook or a business person or a spiritual teacher or a teenager or going to school, whatever it is that you're doing, dedicate the fruit of your action to God. Stay connected to that divine presence. It's always with you. God is above you, beneath you, to your right, to your left, within you, and all around you. You live and move and have your being inside of God, and God is inside of you as awareness, as knowing. And without has the beauty that you see in creation, has the loving and appreciation and light that you see in the smiles and in the eyes of the people that you interact with. God's presence is everything that's lovely and wholesome and pure and good and joyful and truthful and peaceful. Somebody might say, well, what about the others? Isn't God everything? No, in God there is no darkness and no shadow at all. So these other things are the manifestations of illusion or maya or samskara or the appearance, the outer material appearance, which is transfigured and resurrected by your own immortal divinity, just like Jesus did. Your divine splendor occupies you to the point that the world simply vanishes in all of its appearances of darkness and negation, war, suffering, and negativity. That vanishes back into the nothingness from which it came. It's all part of the ego's nightmare. But for you, beloveds, the light has come. So when the nightmare thoughts try to tempt you into believing in the darkness and the shadow and the evils of the world, remind yourself the light has come. And the light is the truth. And that's all I need to focus on. It's all I need to be aware of. Your whole inner light then becomes a tapestry of light that you move through as your daily life, as your environment. And you're actually living in the kingdom of soul. You're actually living in the kingdom of the beloved, with the Lord, with the beloved, even while you seemingly are living in a human body on this planet, going through a massive change in consciousness, a change that will bring everyone into awareness and knowing of the love of God and the peace of God. And we will share this planet. We will grow flowers and food and love and cherish life and each other. And the earth we inherit will be restored to its original pristine beauty. And we will move into perfected bodies of divine glory and light. And there will be no more death, no more tears, no more suffering. And that can happen experientially even while you're still in a physical body. I was privileged to be in the presence of several very great God-realized saints in India that lived in that state. One of them was Sri Ananda Moima, the great, pure, and total incarnation of the Divine Mother aspect of God. Yeah. Amazing. And others. But the point being, you're not limited by the appearance of the outer world or anything whatsoever in time and space. You can be in heaven now. In fact, Christians are taught that as soon as they receive salvation, they are immediately seated next to Jesus Christ in the presence of the Father, in heavenly places. Now, whether they bring all of those levels up to that realization is another question. Because, again, that's not taught very much in the churches either. That's why I think you have to have a combination of the Eastern and the Western spiritual traditions to get the whole picture. But not to get lost in either one of those pictures. because all belief systems at some point have to be transcended into pure being. And all knowledge, even the highest knowledge, has to be released and relinquished at some point to move to pure knowing. So this is an eternal, ever-expanding, beautiful experience of life. You can enjoy every moment. In fact, this is another practice of awareness that I do all the time. Wherever you are, there is something noteworthy and beautiful that you can focus on. I heard the most amazing story of a man who was falsely accused of killing a woman and robbing her of 18 cents and was sent to San Quentin for 27 years. Many of those years he had only bread and water. They didn't always feed the prisoners. And during that time he became totally one with awareness, totally one with the divine presence, and totally illumined. And who taught him this? Ants. There were ants that would come up through the hole in the floor which served as his latrine. And for the first 2 years, he spent all of his time killing the ants because they would bite him. And then one day he looked at them and he said, why should I kill these ants? You know, I've invaded their territory. You know, they have every right to be as much as I do. So he stopped killing them and he just accepted them. He moved his awareness into a state of acceptance and allowing and appreciation, and he simply watched them. And an amazing thing happened. The ants started to bring him things. They started bringing him crumbs and then larger morsels of things to eat, which he appreciated tremendously because there were days that he was extremely hungry. And the ants seemed to sense that. And they began to minister to him in that way, which made him weep with humility. He was in solitary confinement. He had nothing and no one but the ants for company. And he learned humility. He learned simplicity. He learned to practice awareness and gratitude and appreciation. And he became aware that the same spirit that lived in the ants lived in him. And he became aware of God. And he said he began to be really detached. And he didn't realize he was meditating, but later on when he got out, he found out he'd been meditating. And he didn't realize he was practicing soul awareness and soul travel. But when he got out and started to study, he realized, wow, I've been practicing these soul travel techniques. Wow, I've been practicing this yoga. And he found all of his desires fell away. And he got still and peaceful within. And oddly enough, he became truly, truly peaceful and truly present and truly content. Seems hard to imagine that a person in San Quentin in solitary confinement, barely having, you know, bread and water and a crumb or two to eat, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? And yet didn't the Buddha live like that for 6 years in the forests? And don't very many great saints today, in the East and the West, don't they have cells in which they fast or they have bread and water and are isolated? So I don't think we necessarily have to do that today. I don't think we have to. I think the awareness today has to be in the midst of the noise and the many things going on in our world, because I believe that we were in our past, those anchorites and those sages and sadhus and priests and monks, renunciates. I believe that many of us this time are practicing what we learned then in the daily workaday world of the 21st century. But I wanted to share that story because It was so inspiring to me. And now this man is sharing his wisdom in simple ways with the people that cross his path every day. But he speaks from a place of great detachment, humility, purity, and awareness that he learned in solitary confinement in San Quentin Prison under the mentorship of ants. And he believes that ants are the most humble, the most serviceable, the most caring and loving and aware creatures that he said he's ever had the privilege and honor of interacting with. You know, another one that attained enlightenment in prison was Mohandas Gandhi. I don't know if you know that, but he too spent years in prison and meditated on the ants that were coming through a crack in the wall. And that one-pointed focus of meditation upon the ant actually caused him to experience a vision of Krishna, who then appeared out of the walls. And he became fully enlightened because he was a lawyer when he went into the prison. And when he came out, he was Gandhi, who led his entire nation to freedom by non-cooperation with wrongness. What was happening in his nation was wrong and abusive, and he simply refused to cooperate with it. And his solid centeredness in the presence, in that awareness and knowing that this is what I do, this is the right thing to do, that simple simplicity released into freedom his entire nation of India. So I was speaking about your presence and your awareness being the gift. Your presence and your stillness and your awareness allowing miracles to appear on the scene. Those are two examples. And of course there are many. But I just wanted to share that. I think in my own life I've learned awareness because I had such an incredibly uncomfortable, difficult life. I told you I joined the circus when I was 13. There was no freeways. There was no air conditioning. There was nothing for a teenager but constant work and constant pain because the physical body always had some sprain or turned ankle or blisters or whatever. And I learned patience and forbearance and to stay present with whatever beauty I could find, whatever point of loveliness and praiseworthiness, I would look for it. And luckily, I felt the presence of God since I was a little girl. So I had a very active prayer life, a very, not in the formal sense, but in the communing with the presence of God in your heart as you go about your day, that relationship. I had that. And it sustained me. So, the conditions you have in your life, beloved, are designed to bring you into complete awareness and knowing. So be present with them with appreciation. When you do what you do with all your heart, all your love, with complete appreciation and gratitude, you'll find it lifts off you because you've already learned the lesson. So if you are in a difficult situation, you'll be delivered from it once you've learned to accept it and appreciate it and forgive it and love it and to be at peace with it regardless. Then you'll find one day you've been delivered into an entirely different new arena. And thus it is. And that's how we move from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, in ever-expanding divine awareness. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I certainly love to talk to you each week and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Let's raise our hands to humanity, to this planet, and let's speak a blessing of divine love that would fill the hearts, minds, and souls and entire being of every man, woman, and child on this planet. Peace to all nations, to all peoples, to all places, to all conditions. We love you. We bless you. We're so sorry. Please forgive us. Thank you. The peace of God be with you. And let's chant the Anahiu. Deep breath. Anahiu. And with deepest love, we consecrate this evening and this seminar to the Spirit of the Living God that dwells within our hearts, our minds, and occupies the temples of our lives. May you, beloved, live and move and have your being in every way through us. Baruch Hashem Adonai.